Well, welcome everybody. This is Tom Sparrow, the current chair for the Storytelling and Organization Special Interest Group of the National Storytelling Network. And this evening we're going to have a phone conference for our membership. And I welcome and the other people who are here, welcome those folks listening right now and those who listen later. I'm going to say just a couple of words to begin with and then go through what else is going to happen tonight. And then we'll just move through that, and there'll be plenty of chances for people to share. As I mentioned it to just a few people, I wanted to just kind of check in with who's on the call, and I think I have everybody written down, but just kind of by way of welcoming each other, just if we could each say our name and just a word that describes a little something about how our day has gone. And it could also be a phrase or an utterance we talked about.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. And I'll just kind of call off people, because otherwise people never know when they should speak or not. So how about Tricia?
Hi, my name is Tricia Griffin-Cardy, and I am on the board of the SIO. And right now I am within striking distance of where I need to be for tomorrow.
Great. Striking distance.
It's in sight.
And Pete?
Yeah, this is Pete Griffin in Juneau, Alaska. I guess I'm an advisor to the board, and I guess what would describe me is I'm having the time of my life just about every day.
Great. And
Allison
Jewel?
Downey.
Oh, hi. Yes. Administrivia, I think, is the thing that's ruling my life right now. So, hi.
Who is that?
Great.
Jules, with Administrivia. I'm trying to make order.
Okay.
Administrivia. All right.
And hello, this is Allison Downey. I've just joined the call. I'm sorry to be late.
Yeah. No problem, Allison. Allison, we're just working through a list of who else is on the call. And each person is just saying their name and a word that describes kind of how they're doing right now. And we'll get to you in just a minute.
That's fine.
Great. So, Mark?
Hi, this is Mark Steinman, and I'm a member of the leadership team for SIO. And today I am awesome and bicoastal. I'm actually taking this call from D.C., but left this morning from California. So,
bicoastal awesomeness.
I love it.
Good. And Mara?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll say my words, reorientation. I got back from Greece like probably 15 hours ago, where I was for the last week, working. But
yeah, glad you made the call. Thanks, Mara. And Michelle.
Hello, everyone. I am a PhD candidate and really happy to be saying I'm having a carefree day today.
Oh, nice.
The rare carefree day of the track. And then Geraldine.
I'm Geraldine Sparrow, and I am relieved.
Relieved and relieved?
Yes.
Great. And Hackenboo.
Hi, Craig Hackenboo Harrison, and my word will be treadmilling. It has nothing to do with exercise, but it's just one activity after another stacked up, and it ends in sight, but not quite yet.
Thank you, Craig. And Molly?
Hi, folks. I'm the board liaison, the NSN board liaison to the group, and I spent my whole day with my grandkids and my one great-grandchild, who is a doll, and so I'm extremely tired, and I'm going to be up late writing a proposal for a conference because I haven't been able to get to it. Happy to be with you guys.
Thanks, Molly. And Susie.
Hi, I'm Susie Garfield. I live in Highland Park, which is a north suburb of Chicago. I've engaged relatively little with the group, although I've been a member for years. I am coming off a week's vacation. I'm going back to work tomorrow. I am in systems development at U.S. Bank and credit cards. And I've been having fun because I'm reviving my story that I tell every so often whenever I get a chance. It's my Hamlet story, which is told from his project manager's point of view. As you can imagine, Hamlet from a project manager's point of view is a project gone south really fast. Maybe one of these days I will have an opportunity to share it with you.
Okay. So gone south?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Hamlet,
point
Prince
of
Clients. Project
Great.
Manager can't quite help him.
Yeah. And Allison.
Yes, I'm Allison, and I am double booked. I have a dinner that's supposed to be starting at the exact same time, but I told them that I would be late because I just wanted to connect.
Great. Thank you, Allison. And then we had maybe one or two other people who joined our call. Anybody else there?
Yeah, this is Rudy Williams.
Oh, great.
From Marysville, Washington, about 30 miles north of Seattle. And about 10 days ago, I was swimming with my golden doodle dog in Goodwin Lake, and we finished up. I was climbing up out of the boat onto a dock and strained an ACL in my right knee. And today I noticed it doesn't hurt.
Great.
Hi there. This is Cindy Rivka Marshall. I live just outside Boston in Massachusetts.
Yeah. And is there any word or phrase, Cindy, that kind of describes how you're doing today?
I would say swimming. I got swimming today, so that's my word.
Great. Thank
and
you.
This is okay. Ann Ritter. And I am in Atlanta, Georgia, and my word is quadruple booked. So.
Oh, boy. Well, we are a busy group. Anybody else up
yes.
there? Great. So here is our agenda for tonight. Is I'm just going to say a couple more things. And then Pete Griffin is going to share some story with us. Then we're going to hear briefly what our financial situation is from our treasurer, Tricia. And then Molly is our board liaison. She's going to talk just briefly also about our connection with the greater community of NSN and SIO's place. And then Mark Steinman is just going to kind of go through some of the things that happened over this past year, and then we're going to open it up to our general conversation of what's working, what would we like to do, and we'll hit that. But I wanted to just say, as chair of the group, I really get energized by the group and just hearing all the incredible things. I wish I could, like, meet everybody and have a extended conversation, because this group is just packed with really interesting people who are doing interesting work and have interesting ambitions. So I thrive off of those kind of connections and learnings that I pick up as I talk to other people. So that's a big impulse of why I'm part of the group. And I also try to find things, and our Story Lab calls would be an example of this, that I would want to do even if no one else wanted to help with it, because it's just interesting for me. And I know our Story Lab calls that not everybody's taken part in, but it's something good for people to be able to share what they're doing, give an example story, and open it up to questions. So that's very valuable. But I also turn that question, not to be answered right now, that question over to you. What's the kind of thing that you would want to do even if no one else was willing to help? And I think that that's the key to keeping our group functioning and not burning out, is that it's never good when people agree to do something just out of responsibility because they're a responsible person, but they don't have excitement for it. So I'm particularly interested in finding things that our membership wants to do, even if no one else was going to help because they're excited about it. And then, in point of fact, there's almost always many people who are also interested and would be willing to help. But enough of my point of view. I want to just turn things over to Pete for a little story as we get into our call. Oh, Pete, I can't hear you right now. Not sure if anybody else can.
No.
Nope.
No. Not sure how your connection is, Pete. Still not too good.
Dear.
What, Pete? Maybe you could get off the call and call back in and see if that helps, or if you can think of anything else. But we'll move into Trisha's portion and come back to you. Hopefully.
I'll do that. I'll try another phone.
That worked.
Okay. Of course. Now we just heard Pete almost perfectly. but he'll try another phone. So.
Okay.
Trisha.
Sure. I'm just going to give a basic overview of where we are financially, and I'm going to ask Tom to jump in anytime to add, or any other members of the team, actually. Good news. Our SIG is in very good shape. I think I'd like to start with the fact that we went from 35 members to 65 members in the past 12 months. So I think that's really something to celebrate. And in part, perhaps, or maybe not, but we've lowered our yearly fee from $35 to $25, which I think is very modest considering what people have now been getting, you know, from the SIG. We are a totally volunteer group. It's probably important to include that. Nobody on the leadership team, you know, has any, you know, anything even so much as a comped registration fee. So everybody who's on the leadership team is just giving of their time and talent. Where do we spend the money this year? We spent it on revising our website to the tune of about $255. And I think the rest of it really was related to our pre-conference. We had our speaker. We paid for her transportation, et cetera. We had a pre-conference, food and coffee, and let's see. And Mark, I believe, did a session with us. He did do a session with us at no cost to the group. So in terms of a breakdown, Tom, is it correct that we started the year with a balance of $8,235? Is that the correct number?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And our website was about $255. Our speaker, by the time everything will be due in paid to her, is approximately $1,330, and then another almost $500 for our conference coffee and food for our pre-conference. So I'm trying to get a handle here, but I don't have it all in front of me. But so we are in a very good position, and hoping to see perhaps even more income in terms of new members, et cetera.
Yeah, and then 30% of what we take in with that $25 goes to NSN, which really we are NSN. So that's we wouldn't be able to exist without NSN. Certainly, well, there's lots of benefits, and Molly can speak to that in a minute. But I think it's right around $1,000 or so that we ended up with earning, but we're spending more than that this year. But we're spending it as some investment, and obviously if we started the year with $8,000, that part of that is because in recent times there was not much money spent at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there also wasn't a whole lot of value given to the membership for all kinds of reasons. But over the years, there have been some really nice things done. But we were thinking that it's important that we know that we have this money, so maybe if we have some dream of what we want to do, we don't want to spend all our money, but we have some money we could maybe do something with that would be value for our membership.
Tim, this is Rudy. Do we have any other income besides membership dues?
The pre-conference fee is another chunk of money that we got. So it was,
that's right.
I think, $35 for doing the pre-conference and a little bit more if you weren't a member. And then we did get a contribution just to the gift, a gift to our group from Peter Dominick's college because they used one of our Story Lab calls, and then they gave us a $200 donation for that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions about the financials or comments, Tricia?
No, I actually want to go over this in a little bit more detail, you know, just to see, because I think there was a couple of, there may have been, didn't we also sponsor a student to attend? And I don't
yes.
know if that was, we paid for that, or if that was somehow comped.
Yeah, they got comped. Some of the, what do they call those people again, Molly, who are just young folks who get comp from the conference?
Gosh, I don't know if they call them anything in particular. I mean, I don't know if we have a title for such thing. I guess it's part of an apprentice thing. You know.
Maybe an apprentice, yeah.
Yeah.
Pete's back.
Oh, good.
All right. Oh, Pete, so good. We're just finishing up the financial part, and we didn't actually have a full statement because we didn't finish the quarter out. It probably wasn't the best time to share all the financials. But I think, Tricia, you've hit the big picture, which is we have money and we're earning some money. Our membership is up, so we have more money that way. And we had a really great quality speaker and spent some money on that.
I do have a question. This is
yeah.
Allison asking, in terms of, is there a cost to maintaining the website?
It's very minimal. So Karen Woolside has that capability. So she hosts the website, and it's like $50 a year.
Okay. I was curious because I noticed that some of the resources listed were a little bit out of date. And so I didn't know if that required somebody to upkeep or if that's just up to us as members to contribute.
Well, that's good conversation for later, Alice.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
The short answer is it is up to us.
Okay.
So, Pete, you're back?
Yes.
Oh, great. Can you share your story now?
Oh, absolutely. Tom had asked me a while back to see if I could come up with a natural history analogy or a wildlife analogy for our group. And, of course, the first thing that came to mind was a wolf pack with Tom as the alpha male, but the analogy started breaking down from there. So I quickly abandoned that. But what came to mind was a story I tell, and it's And I start off with imagine going into a McDonald's restaurant or a fast food restaurant and ordering up 150 Big Macs with fries, and you sit down there and you consume it and it takes you all day long and you've probably consumed 165,000 calories, and you do it today, you do it tomorrow, you do it the day after, and not because you love Big Macs and fries, but because if you don't, you'll starve to death. Well, that's the world of the shrew. A shrew spends its entire life going from meal to meal to meal. It has to eat its own body weight in food every day or it starves to death, which is kind of a horrendous thing. Now, a lot of folks wonder, you know, what's going on with the shrew? Or the second question they ask is, where can I get a metabolism like that? Well, the shrew being a warm-blooded mammal, its skin, proportionate to its body mass, is one of the highest ratios in the world. And food is converted to heat, and the shrew loses a lot of heat through its skin. So it has to eat constantly, and its life is a constant search for food. Now, these animals weigh, oh gosh, about 6 grams. For folks that haven't converted to the metric system, that's a fifth of an ounce. And for folks that aren't into ounces and grams, that's the weight of 2 soda crackers. Now, the pygmy shrew, which is about half the size of the masked shrew, weighs only 1 soda cracker, and it can starve to death in 3 hours if it doesn't have food. So these animals only live 16 to 18 months. Their life is a constant search for food, and they don't have fast food restaurants. They eat slugs, they eat earthworms, they eat spiders. So I can imagine it isn't a real pleasant existence, but it's what they do, and that constant search for food. And I thought, well, this really isn't an analogy for this group. It's really an opposite analogy, because while, yes, we're interested in food and maintaining our group, we do like to pause. We do like to raise our head above the things we do and take a look around and enjoy our surroundings and enjoy our relationships with other people. And we do want to provide some continuity from this generation to the next generation as well. So with that, I think that's the analogy I have. It's an opposite analogy, but we don't want to be like the shrew, constantly going from report to report and increasing membership and making sure we have lots of money in our bank account. But that's all we do. It's not all we do. We're here for a higher purpose, and it's to raise our heads above the fray, do what we have to do, but then pass on something to the next generation that follows us and enjoy those relationships while they last. Tom, that's my story.
Thank you, Pete. I love that reverse analogy. I'm sure we could dissect that a bit, but I know we do have a lot of people who are busy and need to pause and eat. So let's continue on with our agenda, but thank you, Pete, for taking the time to add some story into our storytelling meeting. Molly, can you share with us a little bit about the big picture of SIO and NSN?
Yeah, I guess most of you know, and I'll just briefly go through the history. You know, we have for years been from the beginning of the organization, been in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And the decision was made after we broke off from the International Storytelling Center we were offered a partnership with the Mid-Continent Library in Kansas City. And it's a centrally located area. There's a lot of funding for the arts out there. And we have been challenged as a board to shore up the organization so it looks good for funding, you know. And for years, it had been run by folks that were not from the business community. So I was one of the first that was brought on from the business community. And the reason I was attracted to them, besides being a storyteller, was I was an organizational development consultant. And so I've been working hard to shore up. And then Buck Creasy came on. He's with Toyota. And we've actually been applying business principles to the organization to make ourselves ready. Now, where does this fit with the, right now with the SIO, the reason you guys could be so critical to the bigger organization is that you're going to be seeing a lot of task force being formed. The board in the past was doing all rework. believe me. Now we're forming task force. Like, I just formed one, an advisory task force on diversity. And there'll be others coming out, and you'll see the requests for those coming out in the bulletins. And I encourage you guys from the business community, if you see a niche that you fit in, to help on one of these task force or one of these, I believe we settled on the word task force. You cannot believe how long we discussed whether to call it a team, a committee, a task force, or a whatever. But I think we've settled on task force. So we need, we're challenged to build a new website. We're challenged to come up with new ways of doing PR and marketing. We're challenged, like I said, with organizational structure. We had to come up with a strategic plan that said more than have a good conference, that had measurables in it and goals and that kind of thing. And we're overwhelmed. So when you see those things come out, where SIO can fit in is that you guys can be a part of helping us shore up the organization for the work we need to do in Kansas City. All the money that's out there would help fund more and more grants. And if you're not familiar with the grant program, you need to go on StoryNet and read about some of the grants. There's some unbelievable work being done, for example, in the Brimstone with Applied Storytelling. And then there are member grants where wonderful things are being done in that way. So you guys could become even more critical to the organization than you would have ever been. Another way that SIOC has always stood out is we're the ones who've done the publishing in the beginning. When you'd walk into an organization and you'd say storytelling, and they'd say, what? And they'd expect you to tell a little fairy tale. And then they tried to convince us to use the word narrative, to call it anything but storytelling. And so a lot of articles were published from the SIOC that paved the way for more and more applied storytelling. And now no longer do I have to go into an organization and start off telling them why a story is important. And a lot of that had to do with the SIOC and the work that had been done, the very good work that had been done. So look for those task force. You guys have the capability and help the board do that. And one last comment is the online auctions going on. If you have some sort of service, the online auction supports the members grant program. If you have some kind of service that you can offer, if you have some art that you could contribute, we're in a push to get that out. October the 1st is the deadline. I had to throw in a plug for that.
Yeah. Well,
did that cover about what you wanted, Tom?
Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted. I just wanted to give you a chance, Molly, and I personally just so much appreciate what you do and what the other board members do, and I know it's a tremendous amount of work. And I just love the organization, the fact that we have this giant network of people who love stories in all its many forms. Thank you, Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And let's jump ahead to Mark, who is the vice chair of this special interest group and is going to talk just a little bit about what's been going on.
Thank you, Tom. You know, as we look back, it's really kind of interesting. A couple months ago when we were in Arizona, we were kind of sitting around one of the tables and talking about, oh, my gosh, you know, it was only a year ago when we kind of, you know, or a little more than a year ago when we started this, and look how far we've come. And we thought it would be important to share, you know, what you as members of this group have been able to accomplish and pull off. And you know, in the last year, as Trish said, we went from the mid-30s in the number of members to the mid-60s in the number of members. So, you know, nearly doubling our size, and that's a testament to the great work that everybody's been doing. You know, members getting the words out to their peers. You know, the leadership team, you know, consistently reaching out to, you know, the members. We were at a point, as many of you know, where, you know, we had to decide what to do and put what kind of direction for the SIO. And I would say that, you know, from where we were to where we are today, it's, you know, going from 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. And so it's been really great. You know, we've had a dozen Story Lab calls. You know, we work very hard to make sure that we're consistent and impactful in the conversations that we're having. And those have all been recorded, so it's easy for our members to, if for whatever reason other things in life happen and they can't make the calls, they can always go back, listen to what was going on, and still be as effectively informed about what's going on. We've had a number of key speakers, including bringing Mary Alice Arthur from New Zealand and Jeff Mead from England. And you know, locally, I use the term, you know, and I'm giving you guys air quotes right now, locally from Alaska to Florida. So that's a big local, you know, span. But I think the, you know, a big crowning achievement for us, or at least one that I feel pretty excited about, is the fact that we were able to have a pre-conference event at the session in Phoenix, which gave us a couple opportunities. One, certainly to reach out and share with the current population at NSN what we were doing and, you know, who we are, to share some learnings and talk about building a business case of, you know, why story in businesses. And last but not least, to encourage new members to join the group. And many who, you know, experienced the session at Phoenix, you know, became very charged about that. And I am certain that we'll gain additional members as we continue through the rest of this year. We've updated our website. I think Tom had mentioned that. You know, we're going to continue to do the things that we need to do based on the feedback from you guys. Certainly, you know, we're going to continue to watch that. We've had some nice email threads. You might have seen those recently about lawyers and storytelling and teaching storytelling. And, in fact, I know middle of last week, a person that attended our session in Phoenix has asked Trish, who was a presenter, and actually I just presented to the Arizona State University students there. And actually next week I'll have the opportunity to present to University of Phoenix business students as well. So, you know, we're starting to get the word out. People are starting to see this group and this organization, the members of it, as, you know, highly credible and engaging folks to speak and to share what we've been learning. And I'm certain there's a number of other great things that we've, you know, been able to accomplish, but I just want to stay kind of high level and, you know, share some of those things with you in case you hadn't heard about those. Tom, anything that you think I might have glossed over or missed?
No, I think that's a nice job, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks. So, you know, with that in mind, I think what it does is it goes back to kind of the way that Tom started this, and that's, you know, we've done a lot of things over the past year. You've just heard about those. But, you know, this is our group. This is our, you know, member-based organization. So what do we want for the next, you know, for this next coming year? What thoughts, suggestions, questions, you know, dreams, aspirations do you on the phone have for this particular group? This would be a great opportunity to share some of your thoughts. Tom?
Good. Thanks. Thank you, Mark. So we do just want to open up to have a conversation now with just members of any, as Mark said, questions, suggestions, hopes, dreams that people have for the group, or any general feedback of what people like or what they want more of or anything.
Jim, this is Rudy. You said the Story Labs are recorded someplace. Where are they?
Yes. They're on a phone number.
Oh.
So we have a dial-in number, Rudy, and then you can just choose. There's 12 or 13 different ones that you could choose from. And I generally send out, after the Story Lab call, I send out a note about how to do that each time. But I think that's something, you know, I'm not sure how to convert them. I know some of the other groups convert theirs so that it's a little audio file and you can just go like on the other website and hit that and listen to it right there.
How about putting access from the website?
Yeah, so I think that that's something that could be done. I just don't know how to do it, and so I haven't gotten to that. But maybe somebody else who's audio savvy might take that on.
Great idea to be able to extract those electronically. That'd be very cool.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's for our website. It would be nice if all the story labs were little audio files that had a little description for each one and you could go through.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought of that. There's so many things to do, but that's certainly an option, and maybe somebody will come through who might want to actually do that and work with Karen, who's the web designer, on it. Any other thoughts on that or other things that people want to ask about or share?
This is Tricia speaking, and I'm actually taking notes as we speak, and I remember someone said something about the articles being dated on the website, so I was wondering if that person wanted to speak to that.
Yeah, that was you, Allison, or if you're still there, I think.
She may have left.
Yeah, Allison is one of the people who said that she was double booked.
Well, I just went on the website before the call, and I was looking through it, and I did notice. I've noticed in the past, but I really noticed a lot of the things there. 2005 seemed to be a very good year, 2009. I didn't see... the information was good, so I'll just throw that out there because I'm creating kind of a follow-up or things that we can do differently or have as a punch list. And I think if I sent someone new to the SIO website, which, by the way, I think looks really good since it was revised, I think they'd be put off by that or concerned, or they'd be saying, where's the new stuff? So I'm just going to throw that out. Does anyone have any ideas about how we can a process whereby we could update, submit items, articles, et cetera.
I wonder if there'd be, this is Mark, I wonder if there'd be value in numbers if, each of us on the call, so to speak, or other members each identified one or even just two articles, whether it's from Harvard Business Review or something that they see on the Internet that they could share that's contemporary. We could quickly refresh that. Are you providing a link or, that story?
Well, this is Rudy. I think also that as we're going along, if we come across an article, just send it in.
Yeah, you guys, so this is Tom, and it gets a little tricky, because you can do a link to an article, but you can't necessarily just, reprint the article on your site. And this is also something that there's some lots of overlap between different SIGs. And I've thought, for categorizing articles that have to do with storytelling and storytelling in organization, it's useful for the whole group. And maybe the people, there are some people who are trying to keep track of those, and it may not be the function of our group to do that, because if you look now, most of those things that are on our website now, someone else, you link into another server to actually get those articles. And I certainly don't want to duplicate efforts with other people doing things. But if there was somebody who wanted to coordinate that, who just loves the research, loves to see the articles, and they wanted to keep track of that, that would be great. Let me pitch one other idea, and there was somebody who just talked about this, but there's a section there of stories from the road and white papers. That seems to me something that we could contribute for each other, that we could write up our own articles that we would have a forum to publish them in, our website. And, you know, some of them could be more scholarly, white paper-like, and others of them could be more informal and shorter. They're just a story from the road. And those are things that it gives a vehicle for our membership to publish something. It also would allow that sharing of thoughts that most people are hungry for. You know, they want to find out what other people are doing, and this would give us a chance to do that maybe in a little bit more in-depth way than sometimes can happen in a 45-minute story call or just a conversation.
If I can make a comment, Molly, here, that is exactly what we need. It gives credibility for other people to go into the organization, and when we go look for funding, boy, it looks good if we've got published material out there. And Storytelling Self and Society is one of the more academic ones, but I like your notion of doing it at several different levels. So you might not want to wade through a, you know, one of those real documents. If you're like me, I want to get to the gist of what happened and what was the result, you know. So I like that notion.
I think that's good. A good idea. Great idea.
And I forget, but there's a member who has been doing some publishing, and he was saying that maybe he'd do that. So... hopefully that will happen. Other comments or thoughts?
Hi, it's Jules. I've been a wrestling paper, so I didn't want to disturb you. This, it sounds good. I mean, just the fact that to have the option of not to have to write lengthy articles, but just to do some sharing would be really a great start, especially for myself. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Hackenboo, Craig, are you still there? I know he had something going on too, but he I just mentioned him because he does some writing and written some stuff for the NSN magazine. Thought that maybe he might have some ideas on that. Well, any other hopes or thoughts or dreams? What could make our group better?
Hey, Tom, this is Mark. More on the dream side than anything else, and not so much to make us better, but to keep the betterness going, if you will. I think it'd be great if we could come up with
another, another session to do at the next conference, annual conference, and to keep that process going. I think the consistency behind doing something like that and the information that we'd have to share would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have some visibility now. This is Tricia, and I think that's really critical that we do something again so that people don't come and say, well, I was here last year, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, where are you?
Yeah, I agree, and I want us to have a pre-conference session as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, I just
and have it on my calendar.
Okay.
Is there anywhere to see what was presented at a? It sounds like you had a conference last year. This is my first time to visit a group,
okay.
So.
We sent out information of some of the talks. There were two basic talks that had materials for them, and
mm-hmm.
I think we could get those to you. If you send me an email, I could probably send them on to you. I think I have yours too, Mark. I know I have Tricia's. Such a deuce.
Yeah, I think you have mine. If not, I will, you know, let me know and I'll re-forward it to you.
Yeah. So if you just send me an email, I'd be happy to send you out those PowerPoint pieces.
Yeah, just trying to get an idea of kind of the focus of what you bring to the conference, or I guess relating to business, stories.
Yeah.
Business.
Well, our two talkers, Tricia Suchodolsky, she's the knowledge management officer for the Forestry Service. And so she talked about her role and how her role evolved and what kinds of things they're trying to keep track of and what the system of sharing the knowledge is. And then Mark Steinman, he shared, his session was on making the business case for storytelling in an organization or in a corporate setting or other settings, but kind of the value proposition of what storytelling can bring to an organization.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I just read a wonderful article from the Arts and Sciences Journal that was just published this year called Stories Have the Power to Save Us, a Neurological Framework for the Imperative to Tell Stories. And that's it's real interesting to the work that I do with the director at a group that provides services for people with intellectual disabilities, because a big part of what, you know, we're trying to focus on and highlight that they need their story and they need it told to them. And the approach called gentle teaching is a compassionate approach to caregiving. And it was the international conference that I just returned from, you know, bringing this idea to the Greek culture. And it was an amazing sort of to be able to listen to the dialogue sessions between, I mean, just the cross barriers, including language barriers, because they had translation booths and things like that. We had headsets. It was the first time I'd ever experienced something like that. But they had so many dignitaries that, you know, came on board, and after, you know, discussions over days, that just they were at least appeared to become so committed at their levels that right like that to bring a more humane approach to institutions there and sitting at the institutions, et cetera. But what happens so often in caregiving in regard to people with disability is they get a clinical assessment and it's very much behavior-centered, or, you know, behavior modification becomes the focus. And it's either inhumane approach to the person, but there can be a lot of social, emotional development if that is looked at and acknowledged. And anyway, I won't get into all that, but if there's need for that.
Let me stop you for a second, but I think one of the things you're bringing up is in a sense how there is these overlaps in our different special interest groups. And so a lot of what you're talking about is quite applicable to our group, but of course also applicable to the healing and storytelling special interest group. And you could see how an article like you cited could work for both groups. And we, I think, would do well to figure out what is that system of all articles. I used to work for a university, and there was one person who found anything that was published about the university, and she just loved doing that, and she kept fantastic archiving to find anything that was about the university that was in any of the printed journals. But it was...
Yeah.
I think there's somebody out there who wants to do that just for storytelling, anytime storytelling is mentioned. And then you could search by category and find organizational things and management things, leadership things.
Yeah.
It's such a big job. I don't know. We could do it kind of piecemeal as people see it. and post it on our website, or maybe piecemeal is a bad name because it has a derogatory connotation, but if we found articles that were inspiring to us as members, mm-hmm. we could post that, you know, or almost post it as a blog, you know, like, this is an article mm-hmm. I just came
yeah.
across. Here's how you could see it electronically, and this is why I liked it. You know, that could just be a
mm-hmm.
post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we could also have the opportunity of, for people, you know, it could be kind of a post or a blog, but something maybe a little bit more of the stories from the road or thoughts on storytelling and organization. And then we could also have the option of that full-blown kind of scholarly white paper.
Mm-hmm.
And all that could easily be done on the website. And the website's now WordPress, so people who are savvy with WordPress, which there's a lot of them out there, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not overly savvy, but I could get into our site now and make adjustments as
mm-hmm.
were when it was HTML before. You really need kind of somebody who's more steeped in design to be able to do that properly. So we're set for that. It's just, well, what do we want to put in? And
mm-hmm.
But I guess we could start with just, you know, if somebody sees an article that seems good, that you should go on the website, send me an email and let's get that going, or
yeah.
send Mark an email. And we can work with Karen, or send it to Tricia or Pete if you want to
yeah.
send something to Alaska, because mm-hmm. almost everything gets done in Alaska.
So this is Rudy. I was looking at the resources section, and the there's a third part to it. It's about challenges and organizational storytelling, and frankly, that's the part that I'm really interested in. I work in a manufacturing company, and trying to help managers use story to engage people, the manufacturing folks. And I'm not sure where I'm going to find answers to this other than continuing my reading and continuing to apply what I know. My background is organizational development, so I'm using story to do those kind of things.
This is Molly. Call me.
Okay.
And we'll talk. Yeah, I mean, you can get a hold of my number, but I'd love to chat. Did it for years in Eastern Chemical Company. I know exactly what you're going through.
So Molly.
And,
okay.
Yeah, Molly Catron.
Yeah, Molly Catron.
You know what? I'll send an email with the two of you on it. And so
okay,
you guys
thank
that'd
you.
Be great. I'd love to chat. I've been there, done it, got the T-shirt, you know, and would love to hear your new ideas.
Okay,
so call
great.
Me.
Thank you.
And does anybody, because we're at 7 now, Eastern time, are there any other burning issues or anything someone really wants to say?
No, I appreciate the call. It's good to have the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks. I didn't want to, like, press the agenda, and I think what will happen is we'll just continue with our story labs, and we'll do some more work on a pre-conference. And then if we can get some energy for it, we can take advantage of our website. It's hard to actually get that going. Just we need somebody who wants to do that. And I don't think that person has emerged yet. I've been able to do a little bit, but it's not my particular expertise. So if anybody thinks about that, if you discern that a little bit and say, you know what, I could help out a little bit on that website, I bet there's some other people who would join in. And I would be willing to write an article for it. And maybe that's where we need to start, is just, you know, who might have something that they'd like to write, or a blog post, or
I would certainly, this is Michelle, and as a graduate student, am constantly writing, yet it's so integral to what I do. And I would be happy to kind of talk about and frame how I'm using it in a research, storytelling as a research perspective with an organization here in my community. And, you know, that would certainly benefit me, hopefully, as much as the group as a whole. So that's really something that I'm interested in, would love to think more about and move forward.
Great. Well, if you put that down, Michelle, send it to me, and maybe we can just put that in. We'll get, you know, I think if we write some stuff, then we'll start finding ways of how to disseminate that to our group and how to actually publish it on the website.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it might be good on the website, on the home page, to have something that indicates what's new.
Yes. Yeah, I agree, Rudy. Yeah, because, I mean, it is ancient, but it's greatly improved from what it was a year ago.
But
we need to update the information on there.
But I was meaning more, even if it was up to date today and tomorrow, something new comes in, if it were indicated on the front page some way, on the home page, then it, you know, those that
certainly
use it a lot could see it.
If we do it as a blog section, so that, you know, maybe there's a little panel or quartered off area that, like those comments, that the most recent one would be on top then. That would be a way to do it. And the website set up and ready for that if we just take advantage of it.
Okay.
Good. Well, thanks, everybody, for calling in and adding a little effort. We do have our next story lab scheduled, and actually probably the next two, but the next one will be Sunday, October 12th at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And that's going to be with a guy, Patrick Donnelly, who I know, who's an architecture firm person. And he's doing some stuff on authenticity and social architecture. So he's working with organizations and talking to them about what's their social architect architecture and how do you do that authentically. So he's a very interesting guy and uses story all the time and creates these conversations with firms, as mostly as foundation before they actually do a building project or a remodeling or office complex. And then hopefully, it's not for sure, but in November it looks like Juanita Brown from World Cafe will be our speaker. So she's a member of our group, and she's interested in doing that. And that will be exciting for those people who know World Cafe, which I know it a bit. It's a great methodology of change and bringing all the voices into the room.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah, you're
thank
welcome.
You.
Good, and if any of the leadership folks want to stay on for just a minute, we can just debrief.
Thank
quickly.
You. Bye-bye now. You have a great week.
Thank you.
Great. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let me take off our recordings, but thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Excellent.